Mantras and Japa. A mantra is a word or phrase that has been given to a disciple by a guru, usually as part of an initiation rite. If the guru has accumulated spiritual power as a result of his realization or meditation, some of this power is transmitted in the mantra. If the disciple repeats the word continuously, the power of the guru is invoked in such a way that it helps the disciple to progress towards the goal of self-realization. Sri Ramana accepted the validity of this approach, but he very rarely gave out mantras himself, and he never used them as part of an initiation ceremony. He did, on the other hand, speak highly of the practice of Namajapa, the continuous repetition of God's name, and he often advocated it as a useful aid for those who were following the path of surrender. In Chapter 7, it is pointed out that surrender to God, or the Self, could be effectively practiced by being aware at all times that there is no individual I, acting and thinking, only a higher power, which is responsible for all the activities of the world. Sri Ramana recommended japa as an effective way of cultivating this attitude, since it replaces an awareness of the individual and the world with a constant awareness of this higher power. In its early stages, the repetition of the name of God is only an exercise in concentration and meditation. But with continued practice, a stage is reached in which the repetition proceeds effortlessly, automatically, and continuously. This stage is not reached by concentration alone, but only by completely surrendering to the deity whose name is being repeated. To use the name of God, one must call upon Him with yearning and unreservedly surrender oneself to Him. Only after such surrender is the name of God constantly with the man. When Sri Ramana talked about this advanced stage of japa, there was an almost mystical dimension to his ideas. He would speak of the identity of the name of God with the self, and sometimes he would even say that when the self is realized, the name of God repeats itself effortlessly and continuously in the heart. This ultimate stage is only reached after the practice of japa merges into the practice of self-attention. Sri Ramana usually illustrated the necessity of this transition by quoting from the words of Namdev, 14th century Mahashtra saint. "The all-pervading nature of the name can only be understood when one recognizes one's own I. When one's own name is not recognized, it is impossible to get the all-pervading name." This quotation comes from a short work by Namdev entitled The Philosophy of the Divine Name, and the full text is given in one of Sri Ramana's answers later in the chapter. He first discovered it in 1937, and for the last 13 years of his life, he kept a copy of it on a small bookshelf by his bed. He frequently read it out when visitors asked him about the nature and usefulness of japa, and from the number of times he spoke of it with approval, it is reasonable to assume that he fully endorsed its contents. "My practice has been a continuous japa of the names of God with the incoming breath and the name of Sai Baba with the outgoing breath. Sometimes with this I see the form of Baba always. Even in Bhagavan, I see Baba. Now, should I continue this or change the method, as something from within says that if I stick to the name and form, I shall never go above name and form. But I can't understand what further to do after giving up name and form. Will Bhagavan enlighten me on this point?" "You may continue in your present method. When the japa becomes continuous, all other thoughts cease and one is in one's real nature, which is japa or dhyana. We turn our mind outwards on things of the world and are therefore not aware of our real nature being always japa. When by conscious effort of japa or dhyana, as we call it, we prevent our mind from thinking of other things, then what remains is our real nature, which is japa. So long as you think you are name and form, You can't escape name and form in japa also. When you realize you are not name and form, then name and form will drop of themselves. No other effort is necessary. Japa or dhyana will naturally and as a matter of course lead to it. What is now regarded as the means, japa, will then be found to be the goal. Name and God are not different. This is clearly shown in the teachings of Namdev. The name permeates densely the sky and the lowest regions and the entire universe. Who can tell what depths and nether regions and to what height in the heavens it extends? The ignorant undergoes the 84 lakhs, 8.4 million, of species of births, not knowing the essence of things. Namdev says the name is immortal, forms are innumerable, but the name is all that. The name itself is form. There is no distinction between name and form. God became manifest and assumed name and form. Hence the name the Vedas established. Beware, there is no mantra beyond the name. Those who say otherwise are ignorant. Namdev says the name is Keshava, God himself. This is known only to the loving devotees of the Lord. The all-pervading nature of the name can only be understood when one recognizes one's own I. When one's own name is not recognized, it is impossible to get the all-pervading name. When one knows oneself, then one finds the name everywhere. To see the name as different from the named creates illusion. Namdev says, ask the saints. No one can realize the name by practice of knowledge, meditation, or austerity. Surrender yourself first at the feet of the Guru and learn to know that I myself is that name. After finding the source of that I, merge your individuality in that oneness, which is self-existent and devoid of all duality. That which pervades beyond the Veda, duality, and the Vedatita, that which is beyond duality, that name has come into the three worlds. The name is Parabrahman itself, where there is no action arising out of duality. The same idea is also found in the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the true name of God will ultimately be revealed by self-inquiry? Since you yourself are the form of the japa, if you know your own nature by inquiring who you are, what a wonder it will be. The japa which was previously going on with effort will then continue untiringly and effortlessly in the heart. How long should I do japa for? Should I also concentrate on an image of God at the same time? Japa is more important than external form. It must be done until it becomes natural. It starts with effort and is continued until it proceeds of itself. When natural, it is called realization. Japa may be done even while engaged in other work. That which is the one reality. It may be represented by a form, a japa, mantra, vichara, or any kind of attempt to reach reality. All of them finally resolve themselves into that one single reality. Bhakti, vichara, and japa are only different forms of our efforts to keep out the unreality. The unreality is an obsession at present, but our true nature is reality. We are wrongly persisting in unreality, that is, attachment to thoughts and worldly activities. Cessation of these will reveal the truth. Our attempts are directed towards keeping them out, and this is done by thinking of the reality only. Although it is our true nature, it looks as if we are thinking of it while doing these practices. What we do really amounts to the removal of obstacles to the revelation of our true being. Are our attempts sure to succeed? Realization is our nature. It is nothing new to be gained. What is new cannot be eternal. Therefore, there is no need for doubting whether one could lose or gain the self. Is it good to do japa when we know that inquiry into the self is the real thing? All methods are good since they will lead to the inquiry eventually. Japa is our real nature. When we realize the self, then japa goes on without effort. What is the means at one stage becomes the goal at another. When effortless, constant japa goes on, it is realization. I am not learned in the scriptures, and I find the method of self-inquiry too hard for me. I am a woman with 7 children and a lot of household cares, and it leaves me little time for meditation. I request Bhagavan to give me some simpler and easier method. No learning or knowledge of scriptures is necessary to know the self, as no man requires a mirror to see himself. All knowledge is required only to be given up eventually as not self. Nor is household work or cares with children necessarily an obstacle. If you can do nothing more, at least continue saying I to yourself mentally as advised in Who Am I? If one incessantly thinks I, it will lead to that state, the self. Continue to repeat it, whatever work you may be doing. Whether you are sitting, standing, or walking, I is the name of God. It is the first and greatest of all mantras. Even Om is second to it. For controlling the mind, which of the two is better, performing japa of the ajapa, unspoken mantra, or of the omkar, the sound of Om? What is your idea of unspoken and involuntary japa, ajapa? Will it be a japa if you go on repeating with the mouth, soham, soham, I am he, I am he? A japa really means to know that japa which goes on involuntarily without being uttered through the mouth. Without knowing this real meaning, people think that it means repeating with the mouth the words soham, soham, hundreds of thousands of times, counting them on the fingers or on a string of beads. Before beginning, a japa breath control is prescribed. That means first do pranayama, regulating of breath, and then begin repeating the mantra. Pranayama means first closing the mouth, doesn't it? If by stopping the breath the 5 elements in the body are bound down and controlled, what remains is the real self. That self will by itself be repeating always, aham, aham, I. That is a japa. Knowing this, how could that which is repeated by mouth be a japa? The vision of the real self, which performs japa of its own accord involuntarily and in a never-ending stream, like the flowing down continuously of oil, is a japa, Gayatri, and everything. If you know who it is that is doing japa, you will know what japa is. If you search and try to find out who it is that is doing japa, that japa itself becomes the self. Is there no benefit at all in doing japa with the mouth? Who said there is no benefit? Such japa will be the means for chidasudhi, purifying the mind. As the japa is done repeatedly, the effort ripens and sooner or later leads to the right path. Good or bad, whatever is done never goes to waste. Only the differences and the merits and the demerits of each will have to be told looking to the stage of development of the person concerned. Is not mental japa better than oral japa? Oral japa consists of sounds. The sounds arise from thoughts, for one must think before one expresses the thoughts in words. The thoughts form the mind. Therefore, mental japa is better than oral japa. Should we not contemplate the japa and repeat it orally also? When the japa becomes mental, where is the need for the sounds? Japa Becoming mental becomes contemplation, dhyana. Contemplation and mental japa are the same. When thoughts cease to be promiscuous and one thought persists to the exclusion of all others, it is said to be contemplation. The object of japa or dhyana is the exclusion of several thoughts and confining oneself to one single thought. Then that thought too vanishes into its source, absolute consciousness. The self, the mind, engages in japa and then sinks into its own source. The mind is said to be from the brain. Where is the brain? It is in the body. I say that the body itself is a projection of the mind. You speak of the brain when you think of the body. It is the mind which creates the body. The brain in it and also ascertains that the brain is its seat. Sri Bhagavan has said that the japa must be traced to its source. Is it not the mind that is meant? All these are only the workings of the mind. Japa helps to fix the mind on a single thought. All other thoughts are first subordinated until they disappear. When it becomes mental, it is called dhyana. Dhyana is your true nature. It is, however, called dhyana because it is made with effort. Effort is necessary so long as thoughts are promiscuous. Because you are with other thoughts, you call the continuity of a single thought meditation or dhyana. If that dhyana becomes effortless, it will be found to be your real nature. People give some names to God and say that the name is sacred and that repetitions of the name bestow merit on the individual. Can it be true? Why not? You bear a name to which you answer, but your body was not born with that name written on it, nor did it say to anyone that it bore such and such a name. And yet a name is given to you and you answer to that name because you have identified yourself with the name. Therefore, the name signified something and it is not a mere fiction. Similarly, God's name is effective. Repetition of the name is remembrance of what it signifies, hence its merit. While making japa for an hour or more, I fall into a state like sleep. On waking up, I recollect that my japa has been interrupted, so I try again. Like sleep, that is right. It is the natural state. Because you are now associated with the ego, you consider that the natural state is something which interrupts your work. So you must have the experience repeated until you realize that it is your natural state. You will then find that japa is extraneous, but still it will go on automatically. Your present doubt is due to that false identity, namely of identifying yourself with the mind that does the japa. Japa means clinging to one thought, to the exclusion of all other thoughts. That is its purpose. It leads to dhyana, which ends in self-realization, or yana. How should I carry on japa? One should not use the name of God mechanically and superficially without the feeling of devotion. So mechanical repetition is unproductive. Acute diseases will not be cured merely by repeating the name of the medicine, but only by drinking the medicine. Similarly, the bonds of birth and death will not cease merely by doing many repetitions of Mahavakayas, such as I am Shiva. Instead of wandering about repeating I am the Supreme, abide as the Supreme yourself. The misery of birth and death will not cease by vocally repeating countless times, I am that, but only by abiding as that. Can anyone get any benefit by repeating sacred syllables, mantras, picked up casually? No, he must be competent and initiated in such mantras. This is illustrated by the story of the king and his minister. A king visited his premier in his residence. There he was told that the premier was engaged in repetition of sacred syllables. The king waited for him, and on meeting him asked what the mantra was. The premier said that it was the holiest of all, Gayatri. The king desired to be initiated by the premier, but the premier confessed his inability to initiate him. Therefore, the king learned it from someone else, and meeting the minister later, he repeated the Gayatri and wanted to know if it was right. The minister said that the mantra was correct, but it was not proper for him to say it. When pressed for an explanation, the minister called to a page close by and ordered him to take hold of the king. The order was not obeyed. The order was often repeated and still not obeyed. The king flew into a rage and ordered the same man to hold the minister, and it was immediately done. The minister laughed and said that the incident was the explanation required by the king. "How?" asked the king. The minister replied, "The order was of the same and executor also, but the authority was different. When I ordered, the effect was nil, whereas when you ordered, there was immediate effect. Similarly, with mantras. I am taught that mantra japa is very potent in practice. The self is the greatest of all mantras. It goes on automatically and eternally. If you are not aware of this internal mantra, you should take to it consciously as japa, which is attended with effort to ward off all other thoughts. By constant attention to it, you will eventually become aware of the internal mantra, which is the state of realization and is effortless. Firmness in this awareness will keep you continually and effortlessly in the current, however much you may be engaged in other activities. By repetition of mantras, the mind gets controlled. Then the mantra becomes one with the mind, and also with the prana, the energy that sustains the body. When the syllables of the mantra become one with the prana, it is termed dhyana. And when dhyana becomes deep and firm, it leads to sahaja sthiti, the natural state. I have received a mantra. People frighten me by saying that it may have unforeseen results if repeated. It is only pranava, om, so I seek advice. May I repeat it? I have considerable faith in it. Certainly, it should be repeated with faith. Will it do by itself, or can you kindly give me any further instructions? The object of mantra japa is to realize that the same japa is already going on in oneself even without effort. The oral japa becomes mental, and the mental japa finally reveals itself as being eternal. That mantra is the person's real nature. That is also the state of realization. Can the bliss of samadhi be gained thus? The japa becomes mental and finally reveals itself as the self. That is samadhi.